leadership who will discuss halachic issues relating to nursing home admission. Our first presenter is a pioneer in the field, Rabbi Solomon Shapiro, Director, Pastoral Services, Kingsbrook Jewish Medical Center.
Panelists, you know, a lot has been said about getting older in each population. And I want to tell you that the alternative to getting older is much worse. So, let's get older. You know, a great deal has been said about nursing homes, admissions, PRIs, abbreviations, and gematrias, that I'll tell you, half of the people who apply to a nursing home really don't know what it's all about. And they don't understand the gematrias and the Rosh Davis and so on. From the perspective for where I sit, and a good many of my colleagues, I can tell you that when a parent has to go into a nursing home, or a spouse, Hashem Yirachem, there is a great deal of shame and a tremendous amount of guilt. Invariably, I hear remarks, if my wife would understand a little more and have more patience, my mother could be at home. Or the wife would say, if my husband wouldn't have such a temper, my father could live with us. But the reality, it is not so. There comes a stage of one's life where one has to give up. It's very interesting how we take a look at the halacha, the simple law, which becomes very difficult because it has to be observed and followed very meticulously and diligently every moment of one's life if he is blessed with parents. The halacha of kibud av aim. What does the Shulchan Aruch tell us about kibud av aim? How does Jewish law encompass it? The Hadayah Simav Eishram Hei says very simply, Machilon, he has to feed him, and he has to give him to drink. The Menelo, he has to give it to him, the save upon him Yochus, with a smile on his face. That's the halacha. Father Dad, the Shulchan Aruch gives us an halacha that is based on a very interesting gemara. The gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Aleph, presents a story of an amoira by the name of Rav Asa. And the gemara tells us, Rav Asa Avalei Ime, Rav Asa had a mother, she came, she got a woman. And what happened? Al-Halloy, she said to her son, Be'ina Tachshidi, I want you to live. Despite of her age, she wanted a diamond bracelet. So how did the son respond? Al-Halloy, he made it for her. Irrespective of cost. After a while, she said to her son, Vini Gavra, I want a husband. So the son responded to her, Nayaloch, I'll look for one for you. Go to the shatrum and find your husband. She says, I don't want just any man. Vini Gavra, the shatrum for wisdom. I want a husband who is as handsome and as good looking as you are. Rav Asa Shafke Ozl La Aval Yisrael. At that point, he left her a one day of Yisrael. And based on that Gemara, the Machaber in Hilchos Kibud Avayim tells us, Mi shenitrecho das obi voivoi. I don't think I should translate it, but it could be beneficial. If the mind of one of the parents deteriorated, he has to make every attempt to conduct his affairs with them, on their understanding. Until they'll get that. The EEF channel, that is impossible. If they should start in Yerusha, they change so that he could no longer control their activities. Then the Elachoy has to leave. The Emichim has to leave them. The Yitzavar Acherim and instruct others. Lidag of the Lord. Then he's obligated, and that is the covenant he gives them, to let others who are professionals take care of them. So the matter of guilt and shame that they surround and envelop a family, when this type of tragedy strikes, we have to remove. And we have to search for a place that will accommodate them in a proper fashion. You heard from representatives from various institutions here in Brooklyn, that Metropolitan Geriatric and this Father's Home that I'm very well familiar with, because I have been involved in healthcare, not as an administrator, but as a director of pastoral service for over 40 years at Kings County Hospital, and for that same amount of time, and plus a few more years, at Kingsburg Jewish Medical Center. And I say to you that at Kingsburg Jewish Medical Center, which is a self-contained facility, by the way, we have 989 beds. And they're broken down in the following manner. 538 skilled nursing facility, 125 rehabilitation beds, and 35 trauma brain injury beds, and 60 geriatric, psychiatric beds. If God forbid a patient gets sick in the nursing home, we do not have to transfer him by ambulance to a facility that will give him the acute, immediate care that he needs. You move him from one building to another. And a good many of the nursing homes represented here tonight, and the administrators who are present, send their patients for acute care to our facility. And I don't think that people have to be concerned about, and you heard about it already, it's redundant, it's repetitious. But it's very important to put the elderly patient in an environment, in a cultural environment, that will make him comfortable. Allah, we are not allowed to feed anybody tells us. Even a non-observant Jew, one who's got dementia, he doesn't know the difference. We're not permitted to do it. Tachsam Sefer writes a long tshuva, and a shalom is presented to him about a cotton yosef, an orphaned child who needed special attention, special care, but only in an institution where they were given davus. And he said, we're not permitted to. And therefore, it becomes extremely important to find a facility that will accommodate the cultural, religious needs of the Jew. We have many times problems where a family is not religious, or the patient is not very religious. And the family will say, what do we do? He's not accustomed to eating kosher. I said, what do you do? I can't tell you what to do, I can tell you what we do. We have a kosher facility. We're two full-time mashgichim. And a weekend filling mashgich. We have a synagogue. We have a Shabbos elevator. And as you heard from other institutions, our facility accommodates the needs of the Jewish Shabbos and Yom Tov in every aspect and in every respect. And that is what is important, to make the individual who's not well comfortable. The Hasidus, we have a very interesting approach to Kibbutz. Most of you know the Bench in My Heart, right? And most of the people know that when they say the Anachamon is at the end, what do they say? Yivoreh es Ovi es Imi, my father and my mother, my wife and my children and everybody else. What happens after the parents pass away? Many people drop the Anachamon Yivoreh es Ovi es Imi, and they just continue on. It's Ishti, the Zari, my wife, my children, my grandchildren. Chassidus says no. Even after they are gone, you have to say that the Rachamon again. Still, continue. Why? Because you were queer to give covet to your parents when they are here and Chas v'Shalom when they are gone. Al Achas Kamava Kam. How much more important is it to give them respect and give them dignity when they are still alive, but unfortunately incapacitated? It therefore becomes obligatory, and that message has to go out to all the members of the community and other communities as well. The importance of choosing a facility that in addition to the medical care and the attention that is being paid to PRIs, to MRIs, to other RIs, to pay attention to the religious needs of the Jewish patient. Because that makes him comfortable. And I'm going to share a story with you. One story that I recall from my early days in the chaplaincy. Many years ago, they didn't do laparoscopic surgery. If one needed a gallbladder removed, it was a prolonged procedure. I don't think that a third-party reimbursement would cover today gallbladder surgery for 42 days, am I correct? I don't believe so. But years ago, when somebody had to go on for gallbladder surgery, it was a minimum stay of 3 weeks. And pain and suffering and so on. Now I remember at Kings County Hospital, over 30 years ago, we had this one patient who overstayed his welcome, was there 24 days, 25 days, and the doctor did not discharge him because he couldn't hold food down in the system. Every time they gave him a meal, he would throw up after a meal. And the doctors would resign themselves. They did all the x-rays and the sonograms that were available then, and the various monitors and every picture possible. They found nothing wrong. According to their findings, well, he's in good health. Wasn't after. Finally, less later, they present the case to the rabbi. I said, let me talk to the patient. I go in, I talk to him, well, I knew from before, doesn't certainly have been famous, Brecht, you know, say. Looked at the guy, I'm ever going to be made. And they have cashed my mind to trade the lessons. I go back, I tell the doctor, I'm going to bring him a kosher diet tomorrow, a kosher meal, what he's allowed to have. And we'll see if he tolerates it or he doesn't. We brought him a kosher meal that my wife prepared for him. He looked at it, and he asked me where it was made, and I told him. He asked for a water, he wanted to wash his hands. That's a givashi, made a mochi. He ate. And the doctors are standing there waiting for him to throw up. No. So I said, you see what was wrong with you? That you didn't understand. His Jewish stomach could not tolerate Thomas. You may have given him a kosher-style meal, but was prepared on certain dishes. His stomach couldn't take it. So it's important to give it to give and find a place that observes the cultural laws. And basically, this is what, I may do repetitions here, because many of these items were touched upon by the other panelists. The doctor did touch upon, was the DNR? But we forgot about the DNR. But we forgot to tell the people one thing. What happens when this patient who signed the DNR at home is admitted to the hospital for a surgical procedure, he goes into cardiac arrest. What do we do then? That's why it's important to remember that before a patient goes into a hospital, if there is a DNR order on record, to have it removed. Otherwise, surgeons will have a problem, correct me if I'm wrong, with doing surgery, just in case the patient does go in to cardiac arrest. Am I correct, doctor?
Yes, there's many hospitals ask for DNR. There's a separate DNR for operating room. So a DNR can be valid, but not in the operating room for exactly that thing. Because when a patient's under anesthetic, they can actually have their heart stopped or whatever, obviously. I mean, a patient having cardiac surgery is technically there with a heart stopped. So there is a separate issue about whether the DNR is valid in the operating room or not. But that for DNR with blood, you have to consult your local Orthodox rabbi.
Yeah. Huh? There's one more point, and that was touched upon here before as well. That's very important to remember by people who are in good health, advanced directives. Advanced directives are important. And I'm going to take another minute of your time and tell the story that you heard from me once, a few weeks ago, of this aged gentleman who was admitted to our emergency room in Kingsbrook, and the buzz around was, we can't touch it because there is an advanced directive. They take this 86-year-old gentleman, they leave him on the stretcher, and nobody wants to touch him. Advanced directives, I have advanced directives. Nobody bothered to take a look what the advanced directive said because he didn't have a wisdom. He came from a nursing home, and the papers were still in the nursing home. Until the son came flying in, and he started to scream, why is my father still on the stretcher? Why aren't you doing something for him? He's running temperature. And they tell him sheeplessly, he has an advanced directive. He says, yes, that is true. But his advanced directive reads, do everything in your power to save my life. So the advanced directive is important, and it should be properly worded. And I conclude with best wishes to all the elder gentlemen and to the older generation that they should remain in good health until the time comes for them to leave this world, which is in 120 years, and with inflation, you have to increase the price a little bit.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Our next rub is Rabbi Moshe Nussan Schreier, Moradasha Avenue Andrew Center, who's also chaplain at the Coney Island Hospital. And I look forward to hearing his observation and perspective coming from the point of view of a rub of a large kibbutz. Thank you.
It's been a very interesting experience listening to this panel. And of course, I, for the sake of not being repetitive in the few minutes that have been allotted to me, I'd like perhaps to raise a few problems that come to my attention as a rabbi of a shul. few weeks ago, a lady came to see me. She has a brother in my synagogue, and who has someone taking care of him. And he was issuing checks, and they were afraid that they would be depleting his assets. And so she came to me and asked me, what can I do about it? And I suggested to her, and this is simply a practical suggestion, that perhaps you should co-sign each and every check so you can keep an eye on it. Of course, what was done was eventually this caretaker who was exploiting her brother was removed from her service. But this is often the beginning of the symptoms of many things that were talked about here. And largely one of the problems that relates to many of the things discussed here is a problem of control, which of course has many halachic manifestations. Rabbi Shapiro referred with quotations, I'll limit myself to the quotations about Kibud Av V'Em. But we know that the halacha is that a father or mother may contradict you and strike you and do everything else and be very abusive of you, and you have to bear it in good conscience. We have a case in the hospital right now where an aged person has 7 living relatives, and none of the 7 living relatives are willing to take any responsibility for this individual. I believe it's a tremendous chil Hashem. You know, if the government orders the hospital to pay whatever the daily rate is, of course they have to do it. But it's not proper that 7 blood relatives of an individual should not take any responsibility with regard to the individual. My message to any community, my own community included, and I speak to myself, if others listen, that to study well the halacha of Kibud Av V'Em and to be able to bear, we live in a climate now where a lot is being talked about abuse. And the degree of abuse that I observe, unfortunately, among children, not only in terms of not assuming responsibility, but even in terms of the treatment that they accord. How many patients are there in nursing homes, and we all visit them, where there is no relative who ever visits? I heard the doctor say that maybe Miss Chadwick said it, I think you said it, that you can be sure of quality care if a family visits someone said it here, I don't know whether it was said here, that if you visit regularly, you can also be sure that the patient will be visited. This is not only a practical suggestion of care. From our point of view, it's a halacha. From our point of view, it's a moral imperative which we have to follow. This idea of control, of course, translates into this whole syndrome that we didn't know about too much years ago, but with the increasing research into Alzheimer's and the beginning of it, first that I became aware of it was maybe more than 25 years ago. It was during a drasha on Rosh Hashanah, where a lady who was a daughter of a distinguished Talmud Chacham and Mechaber Sefer, during a drasha on Rosh Hashanah, got up on the balcony and started walking around, and I couldn't understand. Maybe it was something that I said that offended her. And then I found out that it was the beginning of what was then not properly diagnosed, and finally, years later, of course, she passed away from this disease after lingering for many years. And it is a disease that, Achmona Litzlan, we shouldn't be tested with it. There are heroes that are formed in the manner in which children care for their parents, and there the reverse is also true. There are villains that are created, but not only in Alzheimer's. And so I urge, as a Rav and as one who has consulted regularly on a whole range of these problems, that it is difficult for the parent very often to relinquish control. After all, they ran a big business or they were in control of their lives, and suddenly they have to cede control, the mats of the Shlisha Revia, a little bit, sometimes more, to others to care for them. It is something that needs to be done with sensitivity. Talk to them. There are professionals, a whole range of professionals that we heard from here, who can help with this so that the parents become accepting. But we, as children, have to be extremely careful and extremely sensitive in terms of not being guilty of gross abuse, not the kinds of abuses that we read about in the courts and so on. There are, of course, other problems, the degree to which one has to assume responsibility. And that's where, of course, the nursing home comes in. The question, halachically, when it is permissible to allow a parent to go into a nursing facility. Having myself personally experienced this kind of an instance, obviously the termination point has to be when it is literally, physically impossible for the family to care for an individual, and where you do need this constant and all-time care. And I think halachically probably that would be permissible. There are people who heroically do not at any time, would not at any time commit their parents to a nursing home, and if they are able to bear it, kavaleh and brocha. But obviously there are circumstances which are beyond the ability of an individual to handle where this kind of service is indicated. And as has been presented here, each one of the representatives of the facilities, and I know them well, of course touted that theirs is unique in this respect, theirs is unique in this respect. We think that probably a lot of it is so, but these facilities need the attention of the community to call attention to the fact that they have to perform this service in light of Jewish law. It's not only to create a cultural environment which is absolutely necessary, and the story that Rabbi Shapiro told about the trefa meal is so very true, I see it every day. But the idea that the community has to urge upon nursing home people that this is not only a place to make a great deal of money, it is also a place where a great deal of responsibility and service has to be presented.
Thank you very much. Next, esteemed Rav and Dean, Prospect Park Yeshiva and Congregation, and Prospect Park Nursing Home, Rabbi Avram Kelman.
I commend you for your patience. You've been sitting very patiently listening. I'm almost the last one. Now, I have... first of all, I wanted to, first of all, to explain my position. I'm here in a double type of function, double type of position. I'm, as was told to you, I'm the rabbi of the shul, and the dean of the Prospect Park Yeshiva. How do I go to a nursing home? Well, it's an interesting story, and I'll tell it to you very briefly and quickly. About 26 years ago, when there was a scandal about nursing home abuses, and the state health authorities removed the license from a certain number of operators, and they found themselves with a number of nursing homes. They didn't know what to do. So they approached, they wanted it to be run as a non-profit, so they approached different organizations, and we were one of them. A synagogue and center was asked whether we would take over a nursing home on Coney Island Avenue. I recommended to my board that it should be done. They asked me, what do we know about running a nursing home? We've been running a shul, you know, fairly well, but to a nursing home is such a strange and a new project. And I said to them, running a nursing home requires a number of things. Common sense, most of all compassion, caring for the people, and high standards of integrity. I felt it was an opportunity to build an institution now which would be a model of integrity. And they went along, and this is how I too became involved through my congregation in the nursing home. And I want to tell you that after 26 years, I'm very proud of what has been done. I could tell you many of the things, you know, ditto, ditto, whatever every other one said about their nursing home applies to us too. We have two points which may be unique. We happen to be in the center of Flatbush, right in the heart of Flatbush. And for people wanting to visit their parents on Shabbos and Yom Tov, this is a very big plus. It has all the other milas that were mentioned, so I won't repeat them. It has one other one, too. We happen to have, it's largely a facility where most of the people are of our own faith, but we do have people of different ethnic backgrounds, Chinese, minority backgrounds. And I want to tell you, the home is a model in getting along. It's halavai. The rest of the population would get along as well without any formal bias as our 215 residents get along. There isn't an iota of tension or discrimination. I want to address myself to one issue only that I was asked to speak on. How should children feel about taking a parent or a spouse into a nursing home? It's already been stated by my footman, previous speakers, that where it's absolutely necessary, it should be done, of course. I think it's an option that should be placed before, if the person is alert, that person should help decide. But in making that decision, I want you to know that people have to get over that notion that a nursing home is a terrible place. It's not a terrible place if you need it. If you can avoid it, and if that person can stay home, there's good care and companionship, but there are certain advantages that a nursing home offers, which even the best home can't offer. Companionship. You go into, not many people can spend days and months and years living alone simply with a aide. In a nursing home, the place is alive. You come in, you have a lot of activities, you have company, you have musical programs, you have visits, you have trips. I'm amazed at what these people do. They put on performances, they put on their own concerts, they publish periodicals. There's a lot of activity in a nursing home which is a factor to be considered in making a choice. And finally, I want to say also that a nursing home can be made much more pleasant for your loved ones, and that has a lot to do with the family. You must visit regularly. It's been said before, it has to be repeated again and again. the care is better, and you have a right to speak up. If you see something is not right, talk. Talk to the nurses, talk to the head nurse. Don't be embarrassed. It's your parent, it's your money. So this is something that should be borne in mind. It's a choice. I think the government is wonderful. We shouldn't leave here without expressing our appreciation. People come in and get medical care that you couldn't buy for tens of thousands of dollars. The best x-rays, MRI, the biggest specialist, without any distinction. It's part of the wonderful legacy, part of the wonderful assets of being an American citizen and living in this country, something that we should be grateful for too.
Thank you. Now it's a privilege to get some Nuchas and Nefesh from Rabbi Yosef Stern, rabbinic coordinator of the Jewish Hospice of Fair in New York. I mentioned that term because I believe that's the name of the weekly that many of us benefit Rabbi Shabbos that he authors. And I am confident that his words will be meaningful for us. Rabbi Yosef Stern.
When Mr. Becker mentioned Menuchas HaNefesh and the fact that I'm the last speaker, I was wondering whether he meant I was going to make me fall asleep. So, we'll see. I'm really pinch hitting. But pinch hitters do very well. I'm pinch hitting for Rabbi David Grossman. My own little niche is hospice, and I'll tell you a story or two about hospice. Rabbi Grossman is the Baruch Hashem, he has a very happy reason for not being here tonight. He's had a family since. But Rabbi Grossman is the full-time, highly motivated, highly dedicated, he's a Shem Dava, very well-known chaplain of Metropolitan. You talk about abuse, and I want to make a halakhic point or two, but let me share with you some of my low points. And then to realize how great we can be and once in a while how low people are. One of my early experiences in hospice. I come to the house, a couple happened to live in Bensonhurst, and this woman was dying. And one child was there. In fact, the child happened to have been one of the NAFTA negotiators. Another child was very, very sick. In fact, at the Levaya, at the Pesach Kvaris, about a week later, the child, the son, a man about 60, came to the cemetery in an ambulance and couldn't even leave but to stay in the ambulance the entire time. Where was the third child? An ono anivo, where did he go? That's an unlisted number, his mother needs you. And it turned out, much to my horror, that he wasn't going to come unless he was promised in advance another $20,000 in the Yerusha. See, I have horrible experiences. I'll share with you one other story and then the good news. This happened on a Tisha B'Av. And this was a Tisha B'Av that I really felt it. We had a patient. I just want to emphasize how important it is for families to work together. We had a patient, and I knew that this patient's own family, in fact, the patient's daughter, was also a patient on another floor in a nursing home. The daughter didn't come to the funeral. The son didn't come to the funeral. Who took care of it? The brother-in-law. And this was in Tisha B'Av, and I felt like crying with the oil. But Baruch Hashem, these are exceptions. I think one thing, and I'm sure many of our speakers can probably confirm that, I find that within the Torah community and with the larger Jewish community, that there's a great deal of collegiality. For the most part, families are there that are together. I'd like to argue, and I apologize, I'm coming later, that the root issue tonight, and maybe some of the speakers mentioned, is actually a Rambam. It's a Befeshit Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Mamre discusses what happens if you can't take care of your parents. Mishnitfra Daito Shal Ovid. Father can't handle things. Or his mother, Shalima, you try. If you can't, Vimi Efshaloi Lama, I can't take care of a parent. Now that you say that Alzheimer's, Meshishtakudiyasis, so what do you do? The Rambam says, under those circumstances, you have to leave them. Anything? Yitzaber, you can't abandon them. Yitzaber, Acherim, Lanhigo, Keroilan. You ask somebody else to take care of them. To which the Rambam responds, how could you tell somebody else to take care of my parents? But he has to stay there. And the Mefarshim say that there's no dispute. It really all depends on it. If it's possible to take care of parents, as you just heard, then children should. If it's absolutely impossible, and there are many, many criteria, children live too far away, the kind of technical help that you need isn't available, so then even the rabbi would agree that one might have to consider another approach. I'd like to just mention a few specific points. And forgive me, and I'm sure it's been covered, so now I'll give you a little Lucas on that. Certainly, and some of this is based on my experience in the hospice, but the nursing home in general. I'm not getting to the issue tonight whether Jewish people who are proprietors of nursing homes are obligated to only serve customers in their facility. There are many halachic issues that are beyond us. But for us as parents, we of course have the obligation to make sure, as so many good nursing homes do, that wherever our parents go, if they must go, that it meets the highest standards of kashrus. Shabbos is another issue. There are many things that are permitted for a chola on Shabbos, and there's others that are not, unless of course it's a question of mortal danger. So there's of course a distinction between warming up food and bishul. Many of these issues are obviated and not a concern if you have a full-time Jewish chaplain, or at least a Jewish chaplain that's there or alive. So you look for that, somebody who's deeply involved in these things. There are questions of yichud sometimes. There are issues of, a nice thing is if there's a mezuzah in every room, not getting into the halachic aspect of it, but just a feeling of warmth or sensitivity that's so important. It's also nice if a nursing home is near other moistes hachesed, near other compassion-oriented organizations. One of the very nice things about our nursing home is we're right near Bigafol Mavar Park. And I can attest, and many of us in this room can attest, to the ongoing chesed that they do. It's nice if a nursing home has a learning program. Let me leave you with a story that somebody in the audience told us a number of years ago. When you talk about sensitivity, there was a parent who was dying. And so the parent asked the child for some toothpaste. Nope. You want some toothpaste? I'll bring you a toothpaste. And they brought the smallest possible tube. Listen, you're not going to need it. What do you need it for? I mean, I didn't say it in that words, but you don't have to be ingenious. And the parent had enough presence of mind to say, listen, you know, where I'm going, but you don't want to say that to me. There's a beautiful part, I'll leave you with the bracha that the Sfana says. If you take a look, in the medieval commentator, the late Mishnah, I guess the Sfana, who says a beautiful thing. On the pasuk in Parsha Mishpatim, as Mishpah Yomecha Amale, that I'll let you enjoy to the fullest every minute of your life. And he speaks about how the neshama is like a ner. Ner Hashem Nishmas Odom. And how in Yiddishkeit, as long as his life, there's, as long as, there may be like a candle that flickers, but the candle is still lit. And so our bracha to all of you here is that in this hus of your compassion and caring, of worrying about parents, of commiserating with others, that which both will bring us that day when we won't worry about nursing homes, and we'll be so good today to be as amazing with you, our Morris Lanessa.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Are there any questions in your body before we conclude? Well, then I'd like to thank you.
I would like to just make a very important comment that one of the stories alluded to, for anybody who wants to fill out a do not resuscitate order, you absolutely have to make sure that the staff knows that that's not a do not treat order. That story was very, very illuminating because you will deal with people who have their own human emotions. And if you want your loved one to be able to get antibiotics for an infection, you have to make absolutely sure that the DNR is not interpreted as a do not treat.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming. I hope what we found it informative. And I thank all the presenters for their participation. Thank you very much.